Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle. Hey everyone, thank you so much for checking in and taking a listen today. My conversation is a really fantastic conversation with Dr. Shannon May. Nourish Natural Health is the name of her practice here in Duluth, Minnesota, where she is a practicing naturopath. She works also in Chinese medicine and acupuncture and has been doing a lot of work with infertility lately. So before I dive into a little more explanation about the conversation you're going to hear, I just want to make a point that if you are in Duluth, of course, the benefits of listening are you get to learn about Shannon specifically and about what being a naturopath is all about and her philosophy and perspective and how she practices. And that is a fantastic thing if you are looking for healthcare of sorts. If you are not in Duluth and you're wondering, okay, what's this going to get me? What am I going to gain from listening to this information? What I would say is this. First of all, you get to learn, if you're not familiar with the naturopathic perspective, maybe that's something that's new to you. Maybe you're looking for something a little bit different, or you're looking for your own naturopath or some different way of doing things with your own health. This is a great opportunity to listen to Shannon and her perspective and how she practices. And you might even check out other information about the naturopathic work in general. I have some other podcasts, if you look earlier in the podcast list, with other naturopaths. You might get a sense of how naturopaths work. And, you know, when you're looking for a naturopath or a person to help you with your health and you're looking for something a little different than allopathic medicine, it's an interesting opportunity because, like we talk about in the interview that I do with Shannon, is that you typically get an opportunity to talk to these people before you actually see them. So you can have a few questions at the ready and get a sense of who they are. And so you might want to hear different perspectives of different doctors so that maybe you can think, huh, what do I want to look for in a doctor of sorts? Even if it's a regular allopathic doctor, might be thought-provoking too. I just wanted to throw that out there so that if you are listening somewhere not in Duluth, that this can also apply to you and be really, perhaps really eye-opening and helpful for wherever you are. Eye-opening, thought-provoking, good reminders, just depends on where you're at and what you're looking for. So going into our discussion with Shannon, she talks about, like I said, her philosophy and how she practices, and she shares with us her experience with natural medicine and working in Africa with a hospital and how they use food to help their patients in medicine, and how that and many other things brought her to the work that she's doing today. She talks a little bit about what it's like to be a naturopath in Minnesota with a not full scope of practice here under the Minnesota laws, and what work is being done to have the training and the knowledge that naturopaths have get more recognition in the state of Minnesota. Among various other things, she talks about some tips around summer safety when it comes to sunscreen. So a few goodies to look forward to, and you will hear, as I was trying to describe a YouTube video, I completely blew it, and the person that I was trying to talk about was ZDogMD, and I totally bluffed it and got it backwards. Anyway, so just giving you a fair warning, that's who I'm talking about in the future when you hear me completely blow it. All right, let's head on in with Shannon. I hope you enjoy it. Well, thank you for your time, Shannon. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, for sure. I'm interested to hear, to start off, because I know you're a naturopath,
Yeah. But
I know you do more stuff than that too.
Yeah.
So talk about what that is a little bit, and if you have any specific focus in your practice, and then, you know, the other modalities that you...
Yeah, so like you said, I'm a naturopathic doctor, and in terms of naturopathic education, there are certain accredited schools throughout the U.S., and the one that I went to for that education is out in Portland, Oregon. It was called NCNM at the time. Now it's NUNM, her National University of Natural Medicine.
Okay.
And through that school, I also took on their Chinese medicine program.
Oh,
and
cool.
So I'm a naturopathic doctor and a Chinese medicine practitioner. So I'm an LAC, a licensed acupuncturist.
Okay.
And through that program, it was 4 years as well. There were certain students that we chose to do the dual program, which was both programs. So that's typically a 6+ year program.
Wow.
Together. And so happy I did both those programs. They just seem to flow really well together. And with the way my brain works, I really like incorporating the Eastern medicine along with the Western medicine, and where the two kind of really mesh well together. With that, I have come to focus more on, I would say in the last year, is fertility.
Okay.
And so I'm doing quite a bit with that. I would say the majority of my patients are women, but I see a handful of men for a variety of issues, and that can be from skin disorders to digestive health or autoimmune conditions. As naturopathic doctors, we're trained as primary care physicians. In the state of Minnesota, we don't have our full scope of that, so we don't have our prescription rights.
Okay.
So that limits us in terms of insurance, unfortunately, that we're not covered under insurance here.
Right.
I do have a lot of patients who use their health savings accounts or Flex Monies, and that's helpful. I always make a super bill because that helps to submit to insurance companies to just show, like, this is being used, you know, and we are doing this. And because really, if they think they crunch the numbers in the long run, they're going to end up saving a lot of money by using this type of medicine.
Right.
So, and I love seeing peds. I see kiddos as well, and they're a fun piece to the practice. So I guess I see from, you know, the little ones to more elderly and everything in the middle. But there's been a larger portion of my focus on kind of women's health and fertility support.
Okay. Interesting. So I'm curious, and you were talking about the Chinese medicine and the acupuncture. What else does that encompass?
Yeah, great question. So in terms of Chinese medicine, it encompasses like a whole philosophy of living, really, and how we look at the body. One of the tools is acupuncture, but then there's something called moxibustion, where they're using mugwort as a herb to make little... There's different forms of moxibustion. The form that I use is the actual herb mugwort, and I make little cones and place them on the body and burn them to warm up and heat certain points of the body to stimulate certain things or to open them up or to calm things down. And that is another way and a tool for the body. So if someone knows that I'm an acupuncturist and they're like, oh my gosh, I don't like needles at all. You know what? That's okay, because there's other ways to work with the points on the body that we learn through Chinese medicine. And then there's the whole piece of we learn Qigong, which is a form of, I want to call it for easy purposes, a yoga of Chinese medicine. And to work on those meridians, the channels of the qi. So we learn that as well to apply to patients and their care. And then we also learn the botanicals and Chinese herbs. So that is a piece that I incorporate as well. If I see it fit, there's certain companies that I like their products specifically in Chinese herbs, and I'll also go into the naturopathic support as well.
So you have a lot to pull from.
Yeah, lots of different tools. It just adds different tools to that tool bag, along with another form of a mindset, I think, to apply to a case and see which one kind of fits. Because some cases, like I just had a case yesterday, it was a little girl who has alopecia totalis. So she, since she was 15 months old, she has been completely bald and no eyebrows and no eyelashes. And I didn't apply really any Chinese medicine or that mindset of mine to her case. It was pretty purely naturopathic. And got to see her yesterday, and all of it's growing back. So it's really exciting.
Holy She's cow, six. That's
yeah.
fast.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So yeah, that was like a 4 month. So like 4 or 5, 4 month process.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I saw her before I went on maternity leave.
Got it.
And then saw her as a follow up.
Okay. I was misthinking your, thinking your time frame from the beginning was different there. Okay. That's really cool.
Yeah. So, and then some cases just feel very much more organically Chinese medicine like. It's like, wow, I can totally see this as a Chinese medicine case, and I approach it more from that standpoint.
Nice.
Yeah, so it just depends.
Sure. So what brought you to naturopathic medicine or starting? What got you on that path to begin with?
You know, even in high school, I was totally gung-ho to be a doctor and then entered actually the University of Minnesota Duluth here as a pre-med student. But soon came to just realize it wasn't jiving with me. Yeah, it just didn't. I felt like something was missing from that system of medicine. And at the same time, coinciding with that, I was really getting into yoga and meditation and loving all of what that was bringing to me, and found it so fascinating in another element and tool to help support the body and heal the body. And we grew up with a chiropractor, and so I knew what that was, thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. Didn't have any desire to crack backs my whole life, but that didn't feel like the right option either. And it wasn't until I went then to Peace Corps in Cameroon in West Africa, and I did a program of agroforestry working with sustainable farming and working with farm groups, but then we also had to work with HIV/AIDS and environmental education with kids. So it really encapsulated a lot of my interests. And then there was a strong hospital in our village that I knew many people who worked there. And I saw them, in a way, they, even though it was Western medicine, the hospital, the tribe here was really strong in their traditions. And so the hospital had to, in a way, kind of accept to a certain degree some of these very traditional ways of healing. So it was nice to kind of see this meld a little bit. For instance, in the maternity ward and for prenatal care, if women got low on iron, they have this certain dish that they make with pumpkin leaves. Pumpkin leaves are hugely, you know, supported and filled with iron. And so what they would do is like tell that pregnant mama that go eat pumpkin leaves for your main meal every day for the next week, and then we'll retest your iron and see where it's at, rather than straight up, wow, you need to be on some iron.
Right.
You know? And so I thought, I'm like, that was so cool. They just got it right from their foods, right, and the hospital incorporated that. And I just thought that was so neat to see that. Wow. And then there were some shamans around me that I got to know and just really fascinated with their work, and a botanist who I did some work with and was excited to see what she had, and learning so much about the different plants with agroforestry. We were really trying to reincorporate a lot of the medicinal trees and plants back that had kind of gotten lost through the culture of Westernization, and bring those back as potentially money makers for the farmers, as well as another source of healing. So Pygum africana was being used quite a bit at the time, and with research with prostate health. And I thought that was so neat that these plants right here, these leguminous nitrogen fixing plants, had such a huge effect with that. So that was my first sense of, no, I really love natural medicine. I was teaching classes on the papaya and the papaya tree and it as the natural pharmacy. And just really got into this while in Peace Corps. And then so came back and just still didn't know what I really wanted to do, but entered a master's program. It was the first year of the program at St. Catharines, where they had a master's in holistic health studies.
Oh.
And I was thinking I was going to combine that with either public health or epidemiology, something along those lines. And that's when we had all these different practitioners come that we could listen to see what they do. And Helen Healy, who's a naturopathic doctor, long-standing naturopathic doctor in Minnesota, she came and spoke, and it was just this like light bulb came off.
Nice.
And I went up to her after she spoke, and I was like, Helen, can we talk? I had no idea this existed. And I'm like, this is totally what I think I want to do. And she was so gracious and open, and she's like, come on over to my office, we'll have lunch. And so I went there and talked to her and asked questions. And in the meantime, I had looked up the different schools, and I had my eye on NCNM. And I said, so what school did you go to? And she said, NCNM. I was like, you did? I looked that one up. And I'm like, so if you were to do it over again, which one would you choose? She's like, I would still choose NCNM. Oh. I was like, that's the one I'm really feeling strongly about. And that's where I ended up. And then through my training, I also did some precepting with her as well. And she's just fantastic and a great mentor. And that's kind of how it all came about.
Wow. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
I didn't even know St. Scholastica had a program like that. Do they still have that?
Did I say St. Scholastica? St. Catharines.
Oh, St. Catharines.
Yeah, down in the cities. Okay. We were living down in Minneapolis at the time, and it was their program.
Okay.
And I think they do still have it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So then after that, off to naturopathic school.
And then in the meantime, I was working at the Wedge Co-op during that time when I started that master's program, and I was working with two acupuncturists. And so we had all these Chinese herbs on the shelf, and so I had just tons of questions for them. I was like, oh, this is so fascinating.
Wow.
It's like, and so I looked it up again, NCNF. I'm like, oh, they have both programs. I want to do both programs. And I got to school and learned they had a midwifery program and started taking all those courses, said, oh my gosh, I want to do the midwifery program too. And I was like, wait, no, I can't. I have to stop somewhere. This is enough. I'm doing the two programs. I know I want my own kids. I'll never have time to be a midwife.
Yeah, okay.
Run a practice and have kids. I'm like, I just have to say no to the midwifery. But I will take the classes because it's so fascinating.
Well, yeah.
So I took the classes anyways.
How cool is that for you just to be able to have an awareness with your patients?
It's so great. I loved it. I got so much from those classes and love to share that with my fertility patients. And then usually I'll see them postpartum and see their kiddos. It's just, it's great.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, and just another source of knowledge.
Yeah.
That they can bounce back with what they're doing and how great for you having kids. Yeah. And oh my gosh, that is awesome.
So yeah, it's, it definitely feels like this is the right vocation for me.
Nice.
With all of its challenges and whatnot, it is, it's the right thing for me.
You're in the right place.
I am.
That's awesome.
Took a while to get there, but yes.
Oh yeah, well, I'm there. It's so nice when things like that just come together. That. I mean, it just sounds like it was like, and that, oh yes, and then this.
It was, and I was just, it was kind of that thing, and where I started realizing for me that if I kind of sat back and kind of watch things happen when as they pop up, it's like, oh, these little signs. Oh, these are little signs. Okay. And that was kind of my learning curve of, you know, the universe gives us signs a lot if we're there to listen and look. Before then, I was clueless about that. But
grab them and little confirmations are beautiful things.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. You said most of your patients are women. Is that really kind of what you focus or look for? Or is anybody can come to you?
Yeah, anyone can come to me, but that just seems to be the majority of what I see for whatever reason. I don't think I necessarily promote it that way, except for the fertility piece. But as we know, too, like, fertility isn't just one person. And there's a lot more male infertility happening.
That's what I'm understanding.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
So that's another piece.
Right.
And so I've seen some men for that as well, which has been really great and fun to see that and help support people.
Any idea why that trend is happening?
I do.
Yeah?
Yes. There is, I offer, it has been in the past every spring and fall, but I took some time when I was pregnant and just had this baby. I'd offer spring cleanses or fall cleanses. And part of that discussion is also about what are we in the cleanse and you're trying to detox, right? What are we detoxing? A lot of what we have in our environment right now are synthetic estrogens and the plastics and the BPAs, you know, and endocrine disruptors at large. And this is a big problem. We're really starting to see lower sperm counts, lower quality of sperm, all these sorts of things, as well as tons of PCOS, tons of endometriosis. And there's definitely an environmental link to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do need to pay attention. Now knowing, too, just this research with, I forget the lady's name, who was doing research at the University of Minnesota with Lake Superior's water.
Oh, uh-huh.
And then she also tested the breweries.
Okay,
and
I read a little bit of
the microplastics that are there. Those plastics are, those are endocrine disruptors.
Right.
And so if we're taking those in as water every day and that bioaccumulation in our body, that's going to be huge over time.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with this is it takes some time to see what's going on and it's not overnight.
Right.
And we're like, oh, 10 years later, 20 years later, wow, look at this shift. What's happening? You know, it's like been building up over the last 20 years. So,
right.
Yeah, it's that's an issue.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, I've done some toxin training. And it's one of the things that we talked about was how the comments that come about the endocrine disruptor, endocrine disruptors.
Yeah.
It's, well, it's not that big. It's not very much. It's okay. You know, when it's, especially when we talk about hormones that come from other things as mm-hmm. well. And I'm thinking all of those things kind of combined. And then, well, of course, hormones. We know how little hormone it takes to change so many different things mm-hmm. in our body, the ability to be pregnant, the ability to not be pregnant, the male to female, you know, right. And it's always fascinating when we talk about, oh, well, a little bit is okay. And that's the industry's sometimes reaction. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, wait a minute. Maybe we need to reconsider that a little bit.
And that's and the important piece, too, is I think what some of the research is starting to see. And then what we're starting to question is that maybe a little is even worse. Because it's mimicking a hormone
right.
at such a small level and where there's even more confusion.
Uh-huh.
And so that argument, I don't think necessarily holds with hormones.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking hormones and
right.
hormone disruption,
right.
you
right.
know, I think different for other things, but specifically to that, I think we need to maybe look at that a little further in terms of larger amount. Isn't necessarily the issue. It could be the smaller amount
that
if it's a certain amount that can mimic that, that's where that problem could lie.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things I want to get back to in you mentioning that you don't take insurance and that because of the work.
Oh, right.
That, yeah. My curiosity is, and I think I remember you talking about this from another talk I heard you do,
yeah.
is that the question of will the work you do ever be covered by insurance? Like,
right.
is that something that makes sense to actively work towards? Or is it kind of better to leave it as it is? Or what makes sense
in all of
that? You know,
it's tricky, right? But I will say with our state association, the Minnesota ANP, it's the Minnesota Association of Naturopathic Physicians, we have worked at large and have gone to the Capitol for the last few years, at least, if not more than that, to educate our legislatures on what we are, what we do, what we're qualified and educated to do that we're not able to do right now
mm-hmm.
within the scope that's been given to us in the state of Minnesota, and that we're actually not covered in insurance because we don't have this scope, even though we're trained in all this, and all of our cohorts who we went to school with in the
right.
West Coast are full primary care physicians,
right.
full insurance panels, you know, to look at this really truly to see there could be a lot of money saved here and we could be opening this whole scope of practice out for so many people to work on prevention even more.
Right.
And so that's something that's been actively worked on and it's continuing to work on. But it is, I will say, it is a slow process.
Right.
So I don't know when that would happen, mm-hmm. but each year we get more positive responses and interest and curiosity. And I think that's always really positive. The question lies too, then, if we were to get that full coverage, who would take insurance? You know, we still have that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And just like in the West Coast, not all of my cohorts take insurance.
Okay.
They have found it disadvantageous for certain things and for their situation. Maybe a smaller clinic or, you know, the time it takes for billing and then to find a biller. It becomes
yes.
pretty detailed and heavy
mm-hmm.
for some practitioners and they just don't want to deal with it. And
right.
I respect that.
Yeah, I can make sense of that. That would be my sort of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Is the whole, does the naturopathic doctors end up needing to sort of turn into our
right.
allopathic doctors just
right.
to survive? And then does it make no sense?
Yeah.
Which would be...
That limits their way of practicing, right? Because
right.
then you're limited to a time frame. And for us, my initial visit is 90 minutes.
Right.
And what insurance is going
right.
to cover a 90-minute visit?
Yeah.
You know, so it's tricky to still, and I feel I need that, to really get a holistic view of what's going on with this patient and what's gone on with their body
right.
for their whole life. You know, there's so much information that we can get from that to help lead us to where we need to go for healing for that body. And I haven't found a way yet to minimize that.
Well, it's the whole, you need the insurance to fit to what you are doing, not
mm-hmm.
you to fit to what the insurance is
right.
forcing you to do. And good luck making that happen.
Yeah.
But we would benefit so much in, like you're saying, in people's healing and experiences and being hurt. I mean, that's so much of the challenge that people are having with going mm-hmm. to doctors, mm-hmm. the allopathic side of things, because mm-hmm. they get no time. They don't get to see the same person. The person doesn't really know them. They're not. I just watched a video mm-hmm. by, oh gosh, what is that guy's name? MDZ Dog. I totally should know. Do you know who that is?
He's
good for you for not hanging out on Facebook and YouTube. He's a doctor who he kind of Weird Al songs into medical
discussions. Funny. Oh, okay.
So I don't agree with everything he says. I have concerns about some things he says, but he had a whole video about screen time in no doctors looking at their patient anymore, that how much we have fallen into the system of you can't look at your patient because you have to be typing stuff in the computer and how that's destroying. He's basically calling for people to try to force a change because he's like, this is, we're destroying medicine. We're destroying the relationship.
It is. It
and
really
that's
is.
Why people want to go. Yeah, that's why I'd love to see more holistic medicine available to people, because that's the care that I think people need so much, and they need that one-on-one. I mean, that's what's great.
Absolutely.
Is the eye-to-eye contact and the connection that you have, and the 90 minutes in the first time to really be able to lay out what's going on.
Right.
You know,
right.
And then your visits going forward, I assume, are also...
Yeah, they're typically an hour long.
So, yeah.
I mean, there's just a lot of information and so much you can pick up on in that time. And sometimes what's really going on is under the surface and doesn't necessarily come out. I've had this happen so many times where, what's typical, I would say 90% of my population, I'm doing a combination of naturopathic and Chinese medicine, and we're doing acupuncture. So we'll do our naturopathic kind of check-in and go over everything and our last treatment plan, and then I'll get them on the table for acupuncture. And so oftentimes, I can't tell you how many times this happens, where all that's been done and said, and they're then on the table relaxing, and I come back, and they're like, oh, I think you should really know this. And this was, like, the key piece, and it, like, totally changes everything in terms of what I was just going to put for a treatment plan. I'm like, okay, we're going to scratch all that for now, because actually, we need to go this route right now. This is really where it's at. And it can be very mental, emotional, you know, for people, like, and it's just, they didn't want to talk about it, or just took that long to feel comfortable enough
for that to bubble to the surface.
Yeah, and just, like, calm down on the table and have these tinos, and they're like, actually, I think you need to know this. I'm like, oh, here it is. Here it comes. Like, this is what I really need. It's not the surface stuff. And, you know, and so if you're not able to get there in 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and that's all you ever get, I don't know if you'll ever get that piece.
Right. Well, I think a recommendation and some training that I was doing a while back was bring your list of issues, but know that the top three are really the only ones that are going to get any consideration. You know, definitely have the other ones there in case they read through it and pick up on something.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh my gosh, how much I think of the interconnectedness of everything and how that leaves a lot of things hanging out there.
It really does. It's not very holistic in that sense. And on the same side, you know, these physicians, they're stuck in this system.
Yeah.
And a lot of them don't appreciate it either.
Right.
You know, they went into it thinking it was totally going to be a different deal.
Right.
And are dissatisfied with the situation they have at hand.
Right.
At the same time, it would be nice, too, to have that insurance. So there is that awareness and that choice and the option. And then you open up to this whole other population that kind of has no idea what maybe their potential health could look like.
Right.
So,
and have somebody for the first time take into account their emotional state and bring all of that together too, which of course they do at the doctors, but it's, have you been depressed? Are you, and you just like, you leave the doctor's office and feel like 10 minutes later, well, I wonder if this would have been important. Not going to worry about it.
Right.
Where they're on the table going through their process going, and then bringing it back to you. And the cool thing there too, that I think is worth highlighting, is that you're open to that. You don't just go, okay, well, sorry, I made a plan. We're going with the plan. You're like, new information. All right, we can change course. No big deal. This is what we do. You know, it is about really focusing on the patient and getting all that you can out from them and to them, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
I also remember you talking about why you came back to Minnesota.
Oh, we came back to Minnesota. We didn't have... So when I was in medical school, we had our first son. And that was out in Portland. And when I graduated, my son was, let's say, 2 at the time. We were in that limbo. Do we stay here? We like it out here, but we don't have any family out here. Mm-hmm. So as our children, we want, you know, at least one more child. Do we want them to grow up away from all relatives? So I think that was a really big draw, was to come back to Minnesota to be by some family for our children and for us too, just to be by some family. And then I also knew at the time it was an unlicensed state. So I knew I was going to be part of that kind of pioneering.
Mm.
And that felt okay to me. I felt okay. I think it felt like a gift to be in a new place, to just start creating that awareness. Like, this is here, people. Like, you can totally get this medicine and make changes in your life and support your body to where you want it to go.
Right. Nice.
Yeah.
So how long have you been practicing here?
Since 2012.
Okay.
January.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was trying to remember a time frame. I kind of remember when you came here, but I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
And we were, you know, we're like, well, we want to go back to Minnesota, but where? And we had lived in Minneapolis. We didn't totally want to go back to the big city, but we didn't want to be fully rural either. And we both really resonated with, who doesn't? Lake Superior, right? And the North Shore. And so we said, well, should we try to make a go of it? And we're like, well, that'll be our plan A. And then if it doesn't work and it doesn't work out up there, we'll figure out plan B. And it's really worked out really well. And it feels like the right spot to be.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you were at the Hub.
Yeah. The Duluth Hub, which has been really nice because there's a conglomeration of different practitioners of sorts. There's midwives and massage therapists and an aromatherapist. Nice. We're all here, some Reiki healers, and it's nice to have some of that community around here.
Yeah, definitely, and like-minded people and everybody understanding what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. Definitely. So just, you've kind of described this, but to work with you, basically get a hold of you, make that first appointment, come in for 90 minutes. Do you do any sort of discussion with people on the phone beforehand?
I always offer a free 15-minute phone consult if people want to check in with me and be like, this and this is going on, this is what's been happening, does this feel like something you would work with? And then we would chat about that. And or just, you know, sometimes people want to call just to see if over the phone, you know, and see if we just resonate together and it makes a lot of sense or things like that. So that's always offered. And then I have a website at nourishnaturalhealth.org. So people can look there and kind of get a sense of what I do and what I practice. I practice right now Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays. Then I have an office assistant who usually takes care of the phones for the most part and the scheduling. So she's great about that. And then that's how we get started.
Right. And I love... That's one of the coolest things about working with holistic practitioners is so many times you get to actually talk to the person that you're going to be working with. And I think that is such a great gift to be able to kind of get that sense. And like you say, hey, is this something you can do? You know, if you call again, allopathic doctor, it's like, well, of course, you just have to come in. We'll see when you get here.
Right.
Which, you know, I understand, but at the same time, it is a gift to be able to talk to somebody and get to know them a little bit before
absolutely.
You walk in their door. So you come in, you have the 90-minute appointment, and then you create a plan. And that, for everybody, I'm guessing, looks a little bit different.
Absolutely. It's really individualized based on what's, you know, people are coming in for different conditions. But, and even if two people come in with the same conditions, I would never treat them the same because they're two totally different people and could potentially have gotten it, whatever their condition is, for two totally different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And even with certain conditions, I see the mental emotional realm play into that. And so there's always that to look at and assess as well. Each treatment plan is pretty different from each other and individualized. And then usually, typically, what I like to do is follow up in a month and see where things are at. And some deep conditions, to really work with them and try to balance things out, you know, can really take 2 to 5 years.
Oh, wow.
To really work on that. Kids are a lot quicker. It doesn't mean you're not seeing improvements.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that trajectory that things are improving. But for some really deep-seated illnesses, I mean, some of those things have been going on since they were kids.
Right.
And so it ends up becoming, when you're healing a body, is you're kind of taking, I look at the analogy of an onion, and you're peeling the layers off. to get back to the core essence and mm-hmm. to kind of build them up again. And that just unfortunately takes time.
Right, right. It took a long time to get whatever's going on and then try to reverse things
And that's not like you're seeing me once a month for 5 years at all. That might be for the first 6 months, you know, and then it's like, well, I think we could check every 2 months, and maybe that fourth year it's once a year, you know, trying to make sure everything's on track.
Right.
It so depends. And then others, you know, a few visits are like, their issue is totally solved, you know, and it's great. But it just depends how deep it is, right, too.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Is there anything else you want to share?
Some other tools that I use. You know, I think as naturopathic doctors, we all resonate with certain tools. You know, there's a slew of tools that we're trained in. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of go out there in the world and feel like, wow, I really resonate with this or that. And so for me, I really resonate with homeopathy. It has been huge in my life and with my family and friends and patients. And so homeopathy is a big piece, as well as flower essences and, of course, the Chinese medicine tools. And then always doing lifestyle and diet, that component, maybe some supplements, nutritional support, that sort of thing. Try to get as much as we can from foods as much as possible. But there are, you know, to get a therapeutic threshold, often, you know, we'll need a supplement, not forever, but to get to a certain place or point. And then I do a lot with what's called biotherapeutic drainage, which is a medicine that comes out of Europe, I believe specifically Belgium, and where it's really working with opening up our emunctories, our eliminating organs, and helping them drain and then tonifying them so that they can work optimally. I have seen biotherapeutic drainage be one of the best pieces of my tools in medicine to really help. From acute things to chronic things, but to kind of get deeper into the body, I have found that that has been a really useful piece that I did training with, and really appreciate that.
Wow. So is it kind of like you're kind of like just cleaning everything out and
kind
allowing things
that,
to move
better?
Kind of
like that, but it's a really gentle, slow process where so one of the components of drainage is they're called undas, and they're botanicals and minerals that are alchemically created together into one type of an unda, and they're geared for specific organs to go there and try to support it to come back to balance. And part of that is kind of just cleaning it out and then tonifying it, okay, and then moving to the next piece of where we think illnesses are kind of where the root of the illnesses are at, and working on that piece.
Interesting.
Which might be a separate organ system altogether from where the ailment is actually happening, mm-hmm, which is kind of the fascinating piece. But that's what you get in that 90-minute history to figure out, like, oh, I think this is really more of a lung issue, even though it's on your skin. Sounds crazy. But, you know, I just had a case yesterday that she retired and this eczema came up all over her body. And I said, have you had any traumas? And she's like, yeah, I have. And I said, well, in Chinese medicine, the skin is ruled by the lungs. And the emotion in Chinese medicine that correlates to the lungs is grief. And she started tearing up. And she said, yeah, it's from past marriages. And I'm still grieving. And she had lost a husband to cancer. And it was just a piece for her. And I was like, okay. And that moment, I said, we just touched on something that's going to be huge for her healing process. And that's connected to this eczema.
Wow, that's so awesome.
And we're starting with our lungs, not our skin.
Right. Wow. That's the thing. I think, yeah. I mean, our bodies are so amazing. And when, and that's what I think is fun about more of the holistic natural medicine piece, is all of those pieces that come together. And instead of just, here's what's in front of my eyes, you know, which I know is not how allopathic always works, but you got 10 minutes.
You're gonna, can do, you know, there's very basic things.
Get them comfortable and that. But man, to dig deeper and to find some of that, what a gift.
Yeah. And then I confirmed it with her pulse. So in Chinese medicine, we're looking at the tongue and checking the pulse. Different positions of the pulse correlate to different organs in the body. And when I put my finger on her lung position of her pulse and pushed down a little bit, it just flattened. Like, it had no give.
Oh,
wow. I was like, yeah, we are definitely working on your lungs.
Wow.
And on the lung channel.
That is so fascinating.
So it's like I heard it from her, mm-hmm, and I saw the skin, knowing that's connected to the lungs, and then I felt it in her pulse. So I had all these different ways to kind of confirm, like, yeah, this is where we need to start.
Wow. That'll be exciting to see.
Yeah. I'm so excited. Yeah. And that's kind of the beauty of this medicine too, is it's like detective work,
right?
In a way. And then it's like, how's she going to be next month? And then that information she'll give me is going to help guide us
for the next step.
Yeah. To the next step. It's like, I can't really plan out. I've had people ask me like, so what's your protocol for this? I'm like, I don't have a protocol because it totally shifts. And they're like, well, can you just give me what I'm going to do 3 months out from now and then 6 months out? I don't even know what that's going to be. Like, it just totally depends.
Right.
What happens with you with this first part. And then that's going to give us so much information to guide us for the next phase. It's not a protocol.
Right.
You know,
you know, not expecting, but kind of been trained in as
cultural,
right?
Absolutely.
And so it's so refreshing. I'm sure kind of blows a person's mind, but I would think refreshing to go, so it isn't just a do this. It's a do this check-in.
Yeah.
Alter course check-in.
Right.
You know, which is amazing. And yeah, that's what you do. That's awesome. Any like little tidbits of anything that you want to share or?
One thing I think, you know, and this is an easy thing for anyone out there, but I see this a lot with my own kids. It's been fun because they're like my guinea pigs, right? They totally are. Oh my goodness. It's been fun to see, but also just realizing, and with the group cleanses, that has just made me realize, even with all the training and everything else, how much food really is medicine or poison.
Mm-hmm.
And it blows my mind every time. The more we can get out of the standard American diet of white processed foods, and the more we can incorporate a rainbow of colors into our diet and support our children with this is a huge piece actually of the fertility work I've been doing, is that a lot of it comes down to diet. And we, you know, I think our culture has just put it that way, that we don't take it as medicine. Well, and the medical system puts it that way. They're not even required to have one nutrition class.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have that, why is it even on your radar as medicine? It's not. So then that trickles down to all of us. And wow, I think I will always be blown away with cases and how food is such a huge first piece of medicine, or can turn into poison if our body is not responding well to it. And it could be a good thing. It could be almonds, you know? And so that is, I think, one piece that I'm always trying to get out there more. And if people can start kids on these foods, it's going to make a huge difference for their health in the future. I mean, to see autoimmune conditions now coming in kids, I mean, this is insane.
Mm-hmm.
This is insane. When I first began medical school, you'd see autoimmune conditions in like 50-year-olds, 40-year-olds. Now we're seeing them in kids.
Right.
What is happening?
Right.
I mean, that is way too quick.
Mm-hmm.
That's environmental. And so I try to, you know, in the cleanse too, what we do is we look at all these great fun snacks that are easy to make. They're delicious, because that's the thing. People don't want to lose deliciousness, right? They don't want to lose that piece. And when you start to explore these things and just recreate new habits, it's hard to get out of our old habits, for sure. That is always a challenge. But yeah, trying to find like protein balls and hummus and fruit and veggies as quick snacks, having a bowl of fruit out all the time, so they grab that instead of something else.
Mm-hmm.
These are a fun thing that we've been doing in our house this year. Well, we've done it a couple summers now, is we'll get berry zinger tea, the berry tea, and make sun tea out of it. So it's infused with the sun, and then we'll put it in the fridge. We'll add some stevia for sweetener, and it's like our kids' Kool-Aid.
Ah, nice.
But a natural and, you know, more healthy, full of some antioxidants from the berries and vitamin C from that as well. So, and they love it. And then we have these silicone little freezy containers that we'll put that in and make freezies out of.
Nice.
So then they still can get like a fun freezy.
Right. Having that fun food to still feel, you know, when you're trying to eat well. I was just talking to somebody the other day who was kind of the frustration of, I just want to feel like a normal person.
Yeah.
And finding the ways and the tools to do that. But how do we help kids get more of the good foods in and let the other stuff go? I mean, I think, and I'm curious. So when you're looking at people or helping people, supporting them on diet changes, and what kind of resources do you have to kind of offer them?
Yeah, you know, the gold standard to support a body is looking at an elimination diet. And so I always give the patients an option. You know, that's the gold standard. It's going to be as clear for them as good they are with doing it and being compliant. So if they don't feel like they'd be very compliant, then it's probably not worth it because we're not going to get a lot of clear information on it. But what you often see too when people do it is they really get in tune with their body and what seems to feed their body and feel good and what just doesn't. And that can be really great and super powerful for them. There will be quite a few people who are just like, no way, I'm not doing that. And then we offer food sensitivity testing to see what might be coming up for them as reactions in their system, as a delayed sensitivity, not a straight up allergy. An allergy would be an IgE acute reaction, but as a delayed response in the body, which can be up to 72 hours later. So you might not know, like, how many things have we eaten in 72 right. hours? So you're exactly. like, oh, which just made this happen to my body? And so that it's just trickier. So it can be a really nice roadmap to start with. No test is 100%, and we all know that. And our bodies are really complex. So I often like it as a roadmap. I wouldn't say it's true and this is how it's going to be forever, because our bodies are shifting, and it can give us information too on your digestive tract and how well it's doing, or if it looks like it's more inflamed and we need to work on gut health. So there's a lot of information that we glean from that, and oh, that can be so, so helpful.
Mm-hmm. And then they may walk away with that list of here's the good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and for some people, it's been that roadmap to start with, and some it's been like night and day. Like, I had this little 9-year-old gymnast, and she had so much anxiety. She was barely going to school, and she had constipation, belly aches, and she was just a ball of nerves. And when we got her test back, she was reacting to dairy, wheat, and eggs. Like, all three big ones.
Oh, man.
And her family was, they were rock stars. They were awesome. And they all got on board. And they all saw health changes. And she, when I saw her, like, no more constipation, her anxiety totally dropped. Because it's like she knew what was causing this, and so she didn't have any anxiety anymore. I mean, she was recommended anti-anxiety meds. Oh. And I said, well, if you don't want to start there, because they weren't interested in starting there, I said, why don't we start somewhere else first that I think could be really beneficial? And she was going to friend's house that night, you know, and doing sleepovers, because she had her box to know what caused what for her, she felt confident then.
Uh-huh.
I had another woman, she had been all over and down to Mayo, and she was so frustrated. She had the seborrheic dermatitis around her eyes, and she had no clue. She's like, I don't know what is causing this. So we ran a test, and eggs was like off the charts for her. And she cleared it out, and it totally cleared up.
Wow.
And she was so mad, she wrote Mayo.
Oh, that's we need more of that. You know what I mean?
Like, right, so people know, you know, like, write them so they know, like, this is what's happening. Like, there is something to this.
Hey, be aware. And some of it is just, you don't expect your allopathic doctor to know everything.
Right.
But to be able to say, hey, here might be some other things you might want to look at. I maybe can't help you, but maybe they can.
And
it's just to have open the door to the options and help the patient feel confident that they can go and look a different place and it's going to be okay. And they're not hopeless, I think, is something that we're missing too, it seems, in a lot of places. So tell me again how people find you, your website, and however you want them to connect with you.
Yeah, so the website is nourishnaturalhealth.org. And so that's a great way to look and get a better sense of me, how I practice, and information on there, how to contact us. But you can also call our number 218-728-7010, extension 203. And then my office assistant would get back to you, or if she answers, she'll connect with you to either set up a 15-minute free phone consult with me, or if you feel confident about making an appointment and just want to make that, then you can do that as well. And then there is a pretty comprehensive intake packet that we love. You can find that on the website as well. And that is pretty comprehensive, takes some time. We love to get it in beforehand if we can, because then it just expedites and speeds up that whole initial visit so we can really do more for the patient and not just go over all that. I mean, we'll go over all that and it'll just spur more questions that I can jump to rather than going over the paperwork, which is always helpful.
Right.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the cleanses. Are you still doing the cleanses or is that something that's,
you're not sure when it's probably not this fall, okay. but I'm hoping to in the spring again and start those again. They've just been, oh my gosh, so fun. So fun. They're, we do a PowerPoint each week and we do a food demo and discussion and everyone has homework each week and it's a month long. And then we end up with a potluck at the end. And, yeah, it's just, we do a Facebook private group with it for questions and adding recipes. And it's just, it's, yeah, I love to teach. It's one of my joys and that feeds that part of that. And it's just, it's super fun.
Right.
Yeah. And I've had people repeat it and I've had them bring their spouses in and it's been just fun to expand on that. And one of my biggest joys is seeing a patient and then all of a sudden I start to see all their family members and you see them grow, these kids, and you're like, oh my gosh, you're thriving. This is so great. Yeah.
And fun when you can bring partners in to get them on board with like the cleanses and have that experience too. So you're working together in the household. That is That is so lovely when that can happen.
Yeah. And you know, I think, and that's where we talk a lot about what are we putting on our bodies? What are we ingesting, inhaling in terms of chemicals and toxins? And you know, it's summertime right now, and so people are slathering on the sunscreen, and that's another piece of being an endocrine disruptor. There's two forms of sunscreens. There's mineral sunscreens and then chemical sunscreens, and the minerals are a physical block to the ultraviolet light, and the chemicals are a chemical block, reaction block. And those chemicals are estrogen endocrine disruptors. That's a big concern. And when we start, and that's a bigger question right now is, right, we put them on babies, on little kids, and they're going to do this over a span of a lifetime. And what is that going to do to their makeup, to their sperm count as little boys, to the female hormones? I mean, this is, it's going to be tricky.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's hard stuff. So I often recommend if you are going out there and getting in the sun, we get vitamin D from the sun, and a good 15, 20 minutes in the sun will give you your daily dose. And then from there, the best way to protect from the sun is to cover up, you know, a hat or long sleeves or such. But if you're going to be out in the sun longer, getting a mineral sunblock is the way to do it. And I will put a plug, the Environmental Working Group does a ton of great work around trying to get this information out to people and families. And they have a list of their top sunscreens. And what they do is they have, through their Healthy Living app by Skin Deep, you can plug in the codes on all of your beauty products or household cleaning products and or sunscreens and scan it and see on a scale of 1 to 10 where it comes for concern and risk to health of a human being. And so you want your products, household products and body products, to be like a 1 or a 2. And you'll be surprised what comes up as like a 7 or an 8 and you thought it was like something good and healthy for you.
Right.
So I always encourage people to go to that site and get that app and check things out of what you're putting, especially on your kids where they just absorb so much so quickly and they're such little bodies.
Right.
And so look at their sunscreen list and check your own sunscreen out on that app to see where is it at, because that is, if you can help support a little body that young with that, you're doing something right.
Nice. Yeah. Lots to think about.
Yeah. I know. Sometimes it seems heavy, but bits and pieces.
Well,
bits
and once you grab the right sunscreen and you figure those things out, it's always probably good to check again at some point in the future. But at the same time, it's like, okay, I know that's not good. I can choose, make that choice.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, thank you. This has been really fun to get to know more about the work you do and you in general, and lots of new fun words from Chinese medicine.
Oh, thanks, Judy. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Before we go ahead and put a close to this episode, I want to reiterate Shannon's contact information, but I wanted to just mention again the cleanses that she talked about doing in the spring and the fall. You'd be able to contact her office, check her webpage and her Facebook page to find out more about them as they happen. And that is separate from her practice. So in my memory, the way she does that or has done that in the past is you meet one time a week for about 4 weeks and walk through this cleanse that she walks you through and helps you through. And so again, this is separate than her regular practice. This would be a separate class type thing. Great opportunity to meet some other folks and have support doing the same thing with the same goal that you are going there for. Again, Shannon's website is nourishnaturalhealth.org and her phone number is 218-728-7010, extension 203. You can find her on Facebook or search for her at Nourish Natural Health Clinic and keep in touch that way. Thank you again so much for listening. You can check out the other podcasts at wellnessrenpodcast.com. That's wellness, R-E-N, which is short for Renaissance, because as I've said before, nobody wants to spell Renaissance.com. And you can fill out on the left side. You can go ahead, put your email address in there, and we will just send you a quick email each week with a new episode that just tells you what it is and links you right to it, so it's an easy play. You can, of course, subscribe via iTunes. Thank you so very much. And if you feel called to leave a review, we would be very appreciative of that. While you're on the website, if you would like to support the podcast in a very easy way and you are an Amazon shopper, go ahead, click the support the podcast link. You're going to find a bunch of Amazon links. You can click on any one of those that you might be interested or not. You do not have to purchase that item. Whatever you do purchase in that shopping trip, a little portion of it, no extra cost to you, but a little portion of it goes to support the podcast. So thank you so very much for taking those extra clicks and letting us know that you like what we're doing. While you're on Facebook, looking to check out Dr. Shannon's Facebook page, you can head right on over to facebook.com/wellnessren and connect with our page as well. We are greatly appreciative to those of you who listen, as well as sharing the information via Facebook, emails, with your friends, getting this information out there to those who might find benefit. I really do appreciate it. Thank you. Here's to you finding the pieces that fit into your health and wellness puzzle. Until next time, see ya.